darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Because the most predictable financial crisis in world history comes closer to us every single day. You know, it doesn't matter what president it is. You go back, except for maybe Bill Clinton, who got it to go the other way for a little while. He got the river to run backwards for a while. But you look at every president over the course of the last 25 or 30 years promising to get spending under control, get deficits under control, bring debt down again. It never happens. We're at $22 trillion and growing. There is a point of no return at some point. There comes a time when the entitlements and the mandatory payments will overwhelm us. At least that's my guess. And we seem to do nothing about it. It's worse now than it's ever been. Joining me now is Professor Richard Ebling, the AIER Senior Fellow, and the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
It's great to be with you again. Good to see you.
To me, it seems to me that it is the most predictable financial disaster in human history. You know, at $22 trillion, at some point, is there a point of no return? Because I believe there has to be, where you can no longer service the debt, or you have to make major sacrifices, like not have a military or something that is, you know, obviously a disaster. Your thoughts?
Well, obviously, I think you're basically correct. There have been many countries that have faced this dilemma. If maybe your listeners recall that in the European Union just a few years ago, that was the situation with Greece. They had borrowed so much, besides cooking their books for years to make it look like they weren't in as much debt as they in fact were, that if the European Union, the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund hadn't given them Band-Aids to try to stop the hemorrhaging, their country literally was facing a fiscal meltdown. Now, the United States obviously is not Greece. The size of our economy, the vibrancy of our market. But the fact is, as you were saying, right now, our debt is approaching $22.5 trillion. The Congressional Budget Office, the group of statisticians and economist policy wonks who just grind out the numbers, they're meant to be nonpartisan, hired by both branches of Congress. They say that if the tax trend stays the same, if the spending trend stays the same, especially for the entitlement programs, the quote, mandatory spending, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, that in another 10 years, that debt is going to be close to $34 trillion and counting. And in fact, they say that in about 2 years, the $1 trillion a year budget deficits will be returning. And that's why the debt as a whole is going to be increasing as much. We are heading for a train wreck, because if we got into a situation, Steve, similar to Greece in our sort of own fashion of it, who's going to bail us out? Mars?
Nobody.
Neptune? Venus?
Yeah, nobody. Because
exactly.
Nobody's big enough to bail us out. So I have a couple of questions about this. First of all, you have this background and this backdrop, and you've got the Democrats on the campaign trail saying Medicare for all, and not just for us, for anybody that comes here illegally, we'll give them free health care too, because obviously we can afford that. You've got people out there saying we want to pay reparations for those that are descendants of people that were abused 150 years ago. We want to make sure that we get free college and the list just goes on and on, Professor. We're already in a place that we cannot sustain this trajectory. And you've got all of these folks saying, well, let's give it all away. More of it. It's insanity, isn't it?
Yes. And it's all because we unfortunately are in a political situation in which the only incentives for politicians, certainly the Democrats, but let's be fair and balanced here, we know the Republicans do it as well with the groups that they depend upon for their own votes. The short run gain is to promise more and more goodies so special interest groups can eat at the trough of the federal government. And then borrow the money now, one more year, borrow again, one more year, another year, adding to that debt, and always say, well, you know, we'll take care of it. And it's basically the adage, you know, kicking the can down the road. But eventually the road reaches its end, and that's what we'll eventually face.
And you kick the can off the cliff because that's where the road takes you. Again, it's the most predictable financial disaster in world history because you continue to put resources and fund things beyond our means. We're living well beyond our means, and I'm disappointed in this president. I'm disappointed in Mitch McConnell, because all of the promises of the Republicans, you get us in charge, we'll finally get control of the spending. We're going to get things taken care of. And the president has eliminated some spending and some programs and talking about getting rid of entire government agencies to save money. And that's all fine and well. But if you allow the Democrats and the pet projects to continue, and pet projects for Republicans as well, let's not kid ourselves, do we gain anything?
No, we don't. You see, the thing is, the whole system operates on a smoke and mirrors and an illusion, because basically what right now, this year, this current fiscal year, the amount of government deficit spending is going to be approximately 20% of everything that the government spends on. So the sort of analogy would be, someone comes up and says to you, tell you what I'm going to do. I can give you $100 worth of government goodies, but I'm only going to tax you 80%, $80. Isn't that great? A 20% off deal. Come and get it. Now, the fact is, it isn't free, Steve.
No.
Because the government borrows that money. And when it borrows that money, it comes out of the financial markets, right? Somebody's savings in the society. And that means there's less private sector borrowing. For
That's
what?
Right.
New machinery, better research and development. People to be able to borrow money for their kids' education.
And the government's always great.
And all of that is a cost to the society.
The government's always great about tooting their own horn. Look at this bridge we built. Look at this building we built. Look at this.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, those resources were taken out of the private sector, and you never know what might have been built or created if those dollars and those resources had remained in the private sector, because government doesn't concern themselves with that, and it gives the consumers, you and I, a false belief of, oh, government's doing these great things. Well, you don't know what would have happened if all of those resources had stayed in the private sector. And that's the disconnect. So let me ask you this. You know, it wasn't just Greece, but Portugal, Spain, Italy, all in financially tenuous positions. Brazil's the same. I can look all over the world and see countries in tenuous financial positions. America would be the biggest disaster, because the whole world would come down with it. But where do we go from here? Is there any chance we're going to turn this around and give you the last word, Professor, that we're ever going to get our financial house in order, or is it just going to continue because it always has?
Well, it seems to be an inescapable trend. But the thing that history shows is that trends change a lot of times for the bad, but sometimes for the good. We need to take this opportunity before we reach that cliff, as you said, is to try to discuss, inform, educate, persuade our fellow Americans that there are no free lunches. As you were saying, the money comes from somewhere, and it's costs, and then it's going to have to, in principle, be paid back. We should use this as a teaching moment to get our fellow citizens to realize that we need to get our fiscal house in order. It's not going to impact next year's election. That's a giveaway. Whoever wins, more money is going to be spent. But we should be thinking of 5 years from now, 10 years from now, before it becomes a true disaster.
The teaching moment happens on the campaign trail every day when Bernie Sanders says, it's all free all the time. And he rides in on his unicorn and spreads pixie dust. At any rate, Professor, always appreciate it greatly. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Professor Richard Ebling from the Citadel, great contributor here to the program. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.